tzibur. He's kol asherosi yisroel amayri. Balak ben tzibur saw everything that Yisroel did to the amayri. Vayogar mayav b'nei ha'om ma'ayi. And Moav was very frightened from the nation. Ki ravu, because it was numerous. Vayokats Moav b'nei b'nei Yisroel. And Moav was disgusted from before the b'nei Yisroel. Vayar Balak ben tzibur. Balak ben tzibur saw as kol asher osi Yisroel amayri. You have to understand why, when we mention Balak's name originally, does it not say Vayar Balak ben tzibur Melech Mayav as kol asher osi Yisroel amayri? It only mentions it later on. Ubalak ben tzibur Melech lamayav ba'esehi. It says it at the end of Pasuk Dal. Look at Chilu, when it says Vayar Balak ben tzibur, it should have said Vayar Balak ben tzibur Melech Mayav. Why does it first mention that he was Melech Mayav later on? So it's said over in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker that the Pasuk is being ramish to us over here how he became the Melech. First of all, Vayar Balak ben tzibur es asher osi Yisroel l'amayri. Originally, he wasn't the king and he wasn't from the Zera of the Malchus. The Vayar Balak ben tzibur es kol asher osi Yisroel l'amayri. But he was just a regular person. He was a simpleton. He was just a regular citizen. He understood that Yisroel poses a threat to Moav, and he warned them about it. Because of the warnings of Balak ben tzibur, Moav was very much afraid, and they were very much disgusted for the Bnei Yisroel, and that was Moav them to call the Zikne Midyan. Because of all this, Balak ben tzibur became the Melech of Moav. He only at that time, only after he sounded the alarm, and only after he showed that he was a man that was able to see what the perils are for his nation, only then Balak ben tzibur Melech Lamoyav Ba'ezahi. That's where Reb Chaim Brisker teaches up Shakl the Pasuk over here. Now there's a couple of other diyukim, a couple of questions that we have to understand here. Number one, Vayogar Moav b'nei ha'om. Moav was frightened because of the nation. Moav ki ravu. Vayokats Moav, and Moav was disgusted b'nei b'nei Yisrael. Why in the beginning is the word Vayogar used, and then afterwards Vayokats? What is this double lashon? Vayogar Moav b'nei ha'om. Vayokats Moav b'nei b'nei Yisrael. What's the difference between Vayogar and Vayokas? Like why? And by Vayogar it says Vayogar Moav ibn Ha'am. Vayokas Moav ibn Ibnei Yisrael. Why is it that by the being frightened it says they were frightened because of the nation and they were disgusted because of the Bnei Yisrael? There's obviously something here that the Pasuk is trying to be medayi. Double Lashon, and why is there a change of the Lashon? Another question. Later on it says, Vayomer Balak el Elokim. Balak said to Hashem, Vayomer Bilam el Elokim. Balak ben Tzibur melech Moav sholach eloi. Balak ben Tzibur, the king of Moav, sent me a message. Hine ama yoytzim in Mitzrayim. So the Akedas Yitzchak asks a question over here. This has got to be one of the most foolish requests in the history of the world. Moshe Mahadar Udayna. There's a fellow that has shyness to the king. He finds favor with the king. And he comes in to ask the king for a big favor. He finally gets his meeting with the king. He says, Your Highness, Your Excellency, I'd like to ask you for a favor. He says, Yes, what is it? Ask. He says, Could I kill your son? The guy's a fool. Number one, he knows his request is not going to be answered. Number two, he's going to get killed. And that's in essence really what Bilam was doing over here, right? He summons Hashem, whichever way he summoned Hashem, we'll see. It's not like this Rishayim what his kayak was, but he asks Hashem to give him Rishas, to give a klala, in order that the Bnei Yisrael should be killed. Not to be a tippish to ask such a question. What's the pshat? Akedas Yitzchak asks this question. Another question that's asked by the Mefarshim. What was the big pachad that Moav had because of the Bnei Yisrael? They must have been aware that there's an issur in the Torah of Al Totzar Es Moav, don't distress Moav, Val Tizgur Ba Mulchama, and don't provoke a Mulchama with them. They must have been aware of that. So why were they so afraid of the Bnei Yisrael if the Bnei Yisrael were befeirish given an issur of starting up with them and provoking them? What's the pshat? So the Sefer Chochmas Chaim which is generally the chidushim of Rav Yosef Chaim Zonneveld. So the one that wrote it brings down b'shem his zayder of Yankiv Meir. I believe he was a son of Rav Yosef Chaim Zonneveld, who says a Meir the Kipshat that will answer up all of these horrors. Again, we want to know what the difference is between Vayogar and Vayokats. Why Vayogar Moyev Ibnei Ha'am and Vayokats Moyev Ibnei Bnei Yisrael? Why is there a change in Lashon over there? The foolishness of Bilam to ask Hashem that he could curse the nation, the children of Hashem, he should be able to curse. And finally, what was the big pachad that Moyev had? There's an Isra in the Torah, I want to start up with Moyev. So this Rav Yaakov Meir Zatzal says the pshat that we find in many places that whenever the Torah says Ha'am, it's not referring to the main part of Klal Yisrael, it's referring to the Erevra. By Yiloinu Ha'am al Moshe, and the nation they gathered to complain against Moshe, Chazal say, that was the Erevra. By the Cheto Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Rei Kishiches Amcha, go down because your people has caused destruction. So Rashi says, it doesn't say Shiches Ha'am. To Shiches Amcha, your people that you brought along from Mitzrayim, the Erevrat, you didn't ask me for Rishus. You brought them on your own. So you see from Rashi that when it says Am, it could be referring to the Erevrat. According to that, he wants to answer all of the questions. He says, it could be Enochinami, the B'nai Yisrael would talk a warning, not to start up with Moyog, but that would be B'nai Yisrael would warn. Who says the Erev Rav were going to comply with that? The Erev Rav was not always so cooperating when it came to the Yisroel that was set for Klal Yisroel. So Moyev wasn't afraid of the B'nai Yisroel. Moyev was afraid of the Erev Rav. They were afraid of the Am because the Erev Rav didn't always listen. If you have a dike in the pasuk, it says Hine Am Yotzei Mitzrayim. Behold, the people went down to Mitzrayim, and he's sitting opposite me. Am is the Erevrat that they were afraid of. Yotzami Mitzrayim went out by itself, not with the guidance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vuhu Yoshev Mimuli, he's sitting opposite me. That couldn't have meant the regular B'nai Yisrael, because the regular B'nai Yisrael was surrounded by Anani HaKavit. They couldn't be seen by Mayav. But the Erevrat that were outside of the Anani HaKavit, they were mamas sitting opposite them. It was they who Moyev was afraid of. That's the pshat in the pasuk also. Vayogar Moyev b'nei ha'om Moyev. Moyev was very much afraid of the Om of the Erevrat. Vayogar Moyev b'nei Yisrael. The B'nai Yisrael themselves, they were disgusted from them, but them they weren't afraid of. But the Lashon of fear, Vayogar Moyev b'nei ha'om, they were afraid of the Erevrat, because the Erevrat did not always comply with what they were told. That also answers the question, how in the world did Bilam think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be maskim, that he should curse the B'nai Yisrael? The Torah says he didn't ask to curse the B'nai Yisrael. He asked to curse the Am. They were the ones that Moshe was afraid of. He thought that perhaps the Am, the Erevrat, maybe that he'd be able to have a shlita on, but he was wrong on that as well. So all of the different diyukim are answered by this pshat. Vayishlach malachim el Bilam ben Ba'or asher al hanor eres b'nei amoy likroyle. He sent messengers to Bilam ben Ba'or, that was by the river, the land of b'nei amoy, to call to him. What does it mean, the land of b'nei amoy? That is where Balak himself came from. Mishom hoya, that's where Balak originated from. V'hu hoya misnade. And Bilam said, "Nevuah ba'amalei osin ato limloich. You're going to end up being a king." So Bilam had already foretold to Balak in advance that he was going to be a king. So Rashi asks a question: why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu rest his shechina on Rabbi Kechavim Rasha? I mean, we see that Bilam was a navi already previously. He told Balak, "You're going to be the king." Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu rest his shechina and allow him to have nevuah? Rashi answers, "Kdei shlo yehei pischein peh la'akum loymach," so that the guy should not have a time and say, "If we would have had a navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, we also would have been marziru. He would have been marziru l'mutim. We also would have done tshuva." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them someone like Bilam, and they had a person with tremendous kaiches. And the same devil was, not only was Bilam not mazer than the tshuva, but he carried them further away from what they were supposed to do. Because the guy with the chila had certain guidelines. When it came to immorality, there were certain guidelines. And he was paired together, and he told the B'nai Smayev to go out and entice the B'nai Yisrael prisoners. So the Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him somebody to guide them, but it ended up he misguided them. But this was to offset the tainus of the guy. So first of all, to understand Pshat and Rashi, the guy will come with a taina that if he would have given us somebody to guide us, to steer us on the right path, we would have been Isaac and Tshuva. So he gave them Bilam. That's who he gave them. He had a zealous. He gave them a Bilam. Bilam was a Rosh of Al-Qaeda. He was a very Bacharach of it. So what kind of a terrorist is that to the guy? And look, I gave you Bilam. So I once saw the pshat that Godel, who states that he works on himself and he's Isaac in the Yanei Kedusha, but he is a product of the people that he comes from. Chazal say that Ezra HaSofer was Roy, that the Torah should be given through him, and there should have been really a second Matan Torah through Ezra, a new revelation in Torah. But the generation was not Roy Lekach because they didn't want to come. They didn't all want to come up to Eretz Yisrael at the end of the 70-year Golus, so the generation wasn't Roy Lekach. That means Ezra Be'etzim himself was Roy for a new Kabbalah Satira. The generation did not allow that to happen. As I'll say about Shmuel HaKotan was a Tana, that he was Roy, Shetishra Lov Shkina, that the Nevuah should be Shaira on him like in the times of the Nevi'im. But the generation was not fit for that. So you see that a person could be a great person with tremendous kaychas, but the generation could hold him back from reaching that godless. The Emes Bilam himself was blessed with kaychas that really could have done tremendous things for the Goyim. But he was brought up in a sviva of Goyim. And what is the sviva of Goyim? It's immorality, it is taiva, it's covet, it's cheating. That is the sviva, that was the soil in which he was brought up. The male, he just became better than them at that very thing. He became stronger than them in immorality, and in cheating, and in redifus HaKavod. So that was the time on the grave. I gave him someone with tremendous covet. But because he was brought up in such a sviva, his kaychas were used l'ra, and he ended up misguiding you even more. So it was a time on the Goyim. And the Goyim can't come and say, you would have given us somebody. I gave you someone with tremendous kaychas. But the fact that he was brought up in your sviva, he used those kaychas only to misguide you even more. That's the chur of the pshat and Rashi. It would be mashma from Rashi that Bilam was really a Navi because he was saying Nevuah. Even before he said Nevuah for Klal Yisrael, he said Nevuah for the Umas Olam. That's the lesson that Rashi uses. Mipnei Ma'ah Hishra Hashem Shkinosei Alei B'Krikhov in Rasha. Mashma, the Shkina rested on him, and Mashma, it was a Nevuah. It would seem from the Ramban that the Ramban argues with this Rashi. The Ramban brings a raya that later on, when Bilam is riding on the Chamor, and it says, Vayigal Hashem Eseinei Bilam, Hashem uncovered the eyes of Bilam. Zohar Ramban, from here you see that Bilam was not a Navi. Because if he would have been a Navi, you wouldn't need him, you wouldn't need Hashem to uncover his eyes. Such a lesson you never find by a Navi. A Navi's eyes were always wide open to see spiritual things. And if over here you see, Vayigal Hashem Eseinei Bilam, Hashem had to especially uncover it, is a sign that Be'etzem, he wasn't a Navi. And even though Bilam himself says that Kashay Damar Hashem Eli, whatever Hashem will say to me, that's what I will do, that was Bilam talking. And Bilam was saying, what he really meant was, whatever he sees through his Kishiv, right, that's what he's going to do. He called Kishiv whatever Hashem communicates to me. But Be'etzem, he was not a Navi. Be'etzem, he was only a Kaisen. Another raya that the Ramban brings to that is that later on, Klal Yisrael killed Bilam. Yisrael Rabbeinu killed Bilam. If he would have been a Navi Hashem, it would be usher to kill him. Shmami know that Be'etzim Bilam was a sorcerer. He was not a Navi, he was Isaac and Kishin. Later on, you do find in the Torah that Hashem, his words came through Bilam. That was only L'chvoydesh of Klal Yisrael. Whatever you have to say, L'chvoydesh of Klal Yisrael, with the brachas praising Klal Yisrael, that was Tak Hashem, that was Megalah his word, only for the sake of Klal Yisrael. But everything else, all the other Giluyim, that only came about because of sorcery, with witchcraft, and Be'etzim Bilam was not a Navi. From Rashi, it's Mashma. Hashem was Mashma Shinosa even before him got Bilam. But the Ramban says clearly that he was not a Navi, he was only a Kaisen. Vayokam Bilam Babaiker, Vayachav Eshas Asoinai. And he saddled his donkey, Vayelech Msori Moyev. So Rashi says, Mikan Shahasinam Mikalkelas as Ashur. hatred could change what the normal thing for a person is. It wasn't the lefi chvodai of Bilam to go saddle his own donkey. Bilam is supposed to be a chashuv of a person. A chashuv of a person doesn't saddle his own donkey, but he went with such sinet. He had such a sinet to Klal Yisrael that he was mevater on his covenant, and he went and he saddled his donkey. So the Dada Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Russia, Trakodmucha Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu already came before you. Shenemar Vayashkim Avram Babaike, Vayachavish his Chavayri. Avram Avinu got up in the morning and he saddled his Chavayr. And Avram Avinu did that, Bechvayu Va'atzmoy, L'shem Ahavas Hashem Yisbara, to be Makayim, the Inyan of Akedis Yitzchak. So there are two Shinuyim, two differences between the pasuk that it says by Bilam and the pasuk that it says by Avraham Avinu. By Avraham Avinu it says by Yaakovish es chamayre, he saddled his chamayre. Yet by Bilam it doesn't say by Yaakovish es chamayre, it says by Yaakovish es asayne. It calls the donkey an asayne. That's number one. That's one difference between what it says by Avraham Avinu and what it says by Bilam. Number two, by Avraham Avinu it says by Yashkem Avraham Babaike. By Yashkem, lesson of awakening. And by Bilam it says by Yokum Bilam Babaike. He stood up, doesn't say by Yashkem an awakening. What is the chilik between the two? So the Maralmi Prague in numerous places, Maralmi Prague on in the Sefer Gvuras Hashem says it, Maralmi Prague in other places says that a chamayr is the simplest, most basic gashmizdike animal that there is. It has the least sophistication. It has the least tshura amongst all of the animals. It is plain, simple flesh. That's why it's called chamayr, from the word chumrius. Chumrius means basic physical matter. As far as physicality goes, the chamayr represents the most physical of all animals. That's why by Avraham Avinu it says by Yaakovish es chamayroi, there's a symbol over here. It's symbolic of saying that Avraham Avinu, when he went to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saddled in his own gashmias. He rode on top of the chamar. That is a symbol of him being above his chumrias. He did not allow his physicality to draw him downwards. He was on top of it. That's the significance of a Yaakovish es chamayroi. He saddled with him. The Maral says, Chazal say that the chamor that Avraham Avinu rode on, the chamor that Moshe Rabbeinu rode on, by Yakime Malach Hamor, and the chamor of the Melech HaMashiach are all one and the same. What does that mean? Does that mean that you have the same chamor from Avraham Avinu that lived for thousands of years? Like, why would that be of importance? Someone else says, no, it has the same significance. Avraham Avinu was Mekayim by Yaakovish as chamayrei. He saddled in his own chumrias. He was a man of the spirit, a man of tzura, a man that was connected with Hashem. He rode on top of his gashmias. He had everything in control. Same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu by Yakivim al HaChamor. He was on top of the chumrias. And by the Melech HaMashiach, who's going to unite all of Klal Yisrael, and he's going to bring the Geula, it says the same thing. He's an Ani V'Reichev al HaChamor. He's on top of his chumrias. But not so Bilam. Bilam is the exact opposite extreme of that. Bilam and his chumrias is one and the same. Because I'll say that Bilam was Mizana with his chamor. So Maral teaches that doesn't literally mean that he was mizana with his chamar. What it means is that he and his gashmis was one. They united. They were one and the same. He was so involved in kovid, in taiva, in his money. That's called, that's symbolic of he was mizana with his chamar. He and his chumrius were one. He was shokua. He was sunk into his chumrius. Mam is the exact opposite extreme of Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu and the Melech HaMashiach. That is why, by Avraham Avinu, it says, by Yaakovish es chamayre, he was able to saddle in his chumrias. But by Bilam, it doesn't say chamayre. It's asoyne, his donkey. But it's not shy by him to say, by Yaakovish es chamayre, he was not on top of his chumrias. He was sunk into his chumrias. And that also explains the difference. By Avraham Avinu, it says, by Yashkem. Every day was a new awakening for Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu was not blinded by his gashmias, every day was a new awakening. Every day was a new hakara in the Gagras Avayre. Every day was a new step towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But by Bilam doesn't say that. By Yaakov, he got up. There was no new hashkama. Happens to be by daybreak. He woke up and said, by Yaakov. By Avraham Avinu, it's a hashkama. It's an awakening. It's rising to seeing new things every single day. Vayichar afra elikim ki hoylechu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Bilam that he was going. Vayishyatzer malach Hashem baderech v'sotan way. And a angel of Hashem stood on the derech, on the road, to impede him. And he rode on his donkey, Ushneina Oragimri, and his two Na'orim were with him. So the Chofetz Chaim asks a shayla here. Chofetz Chaim says, it says, Vayichar Afu Elohim. Elohim is Midas Hadim. Midas Hadim, Hashem was angry with Bilam. And then it says, Vayishasa Malach Hashem Yudkei Vodkei, which is Midas Arachna. Why does it start out with Hashem with Midas Hadim? And then it says he sent the Malach Hashem, a Malach of Hashem, Yudkevavke, Midas Arachna. Why does it switch in the middle from one meter to the other? So the Chofetz Chaim says over here, Reb Shach, which is, it fits in very well on the Pasuk, but also, it's a Yisai for us in life. Chofetz Chaim says that over here, indeed, HaKadosh Baruch was very angry with them. Why are you going to curse the Bnei Yisrael? Especially since I told you, to begin with, not to curse the Bnei Yisrael. So Vayichar Afel Hakim, Hashem was angry with him, and the Midas HaDin was angry with him. Yishlach Malach Hashem Yudkei Vovkei, even though Hashem was angry with him, he still had Rachmanas. He tried to prevent him from doing the Aveira. And he tried sending him some sort of a message, stop! You're on your way to doom. By doing this, you're going to go down in infamy. You're going to ruin your life forever and ever. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, but he sends Isis, and he sent an Is to Bilam. He sent him a sign with this Malach, hoping that perhaps Bilam would get it and stop from this mission. That's why it says, Midas Arachman by the Malach. Al-Srachmanis that he had on him, he sent the Malach Hashem, a Malach of the Midas Arachman. Unfortunately, when a person is blinded by his own interests, he's blinded by his taiva, he's blinded by covet, he didn't get the message. And later on he says, Chotosi, I sinned. I didn't know that you were standing there. The chait was in the not realizing. Hashem is sending you a message. If Hashem sends you a message, you gotta realize it's an ois min Hashemayim. By your refusal to recognize that right away, that was your chait. That's a lesson to all of us. You know, in our lives, we don't have Nevi'im today. We don't have Ruach HaKodesh. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us signs in our lifetime to guide us in different ways. We have to have our eyes open and to be able to take those signs and to act upon those signs. Unfortunately, all too often, we're blinded by what we intend on doing and we don't see those signs. The Chofetz Chaim said over a couple of mices when he gave us, how do you find such a thing? Rav Chaim Volozhin, Talmud Mudik of the Vilna Goyen, was Mamish Goyen and a Tzaddik. He was a Kodesh. But in his early life, even while he was still sitting and learning, Yom Valayla, from time to time he would go out into the marketplace, he'd be Isaac in business matters. What was he Isaac in? He used to act as a middleman between two parties, to make deals between the two parties, to bring them together. But it was totally out of his realm, really. He was successful at it, because people trusted him because he was an Adam Chashev, and he was very trustworthy. But it was totally out of his regular realm of where really he should have been. So one time he's in the market, there's a big session going on, and an old acquaintance from Vilna comes to him, a businessman. He says, what are you doing here? So he says, I'm Isaac in business. He says, you? You? And what are you doing? He says, you know, I'm a matchmaker in business matters. He says, you? A matchmaker? Here? No. You don't need to be with that slug. So Chaim walked away from that. He says, you know, this guy's right. He got the impression, like Men HaShemayim, they were telling him, you? In this business world, that's not for you. I mean, regular people, you know, for states of, you know, smachzum, betzeiswa, yisachar by olacha. But you're yisachar, you're supposed to be Rosh Shavaru by the base medrash. He took it as a sign in a shemayim. It's like they were talking to him through this person. And right away, he went back home. He says, you're right, this is not for me. That's when he started his yeshiva, the famous Volozhin Yeshiva was started, that's when he started it around that time. A second mice that was said over, that the Chofetz Chaim said over with Rav Chaim, was that Rav Chaim was once in Grodno for some purpose, and he meets one of the Talmidim of the Gro. His name was Rav Berra, a big businessman and a mechuladik person. And Rebbeinu says, listen to what just happened. I got to tell you this story, he says. He says, you know, I've been busy. I was here a month ago, and I was offered a government deal. They wanted me to do something for them. It was involved a lot of money. When I was here in Grodno a month ago, this lady comes over to me. She says, she's making a chasna for her daughter. She has not a penny to her name. She needs a nedavah. Please, could I finance it for her? I can't finance it. I took out 50 rubles, which was a nice amount, and I gave it to her. She says, no, 50 rubles, that's nothing. I need you to give me the whole chasna. So I took out another 50 rubles. You know, I wanted to give her 100 rubles, a very nice sum, a very thick sum, very generous. She wouldn't hear it, and she walked away. Okay. It ended up that my deal with the government fell through, and I went back home empty-handed. Then I get a message from the government to come back to Grodno again a month later. Again, they wanted to talk to me about this. And lo and behold, the same lady comes back to me. She says, please pay for the whole chasna. He looks at Reb Chaim and he says, crazy. Well, what does this lady want from me? So Reb Chaim said, if you ask me, I would say you should pay for the whole chasna. He says, look at what happened over here. Look at what happened. You were here the first time on a business deal with the government. It didn't work out. They could have made the deal with you from Vilna. Why did they have to tell you to come to Grodno? Must be, Hashemayim, they summoned you here to Grodno because this lady needed you to finance her chasana. And you see, the first time, your deal fell through. It didn't work. Maybe they summoned you back here again. She should come to you again. And then Hashemayim would just say, you should finance it. And he brought him a ride from a posuk, which right now, you know, it's not yet to say. And sure enough, the man listened, and sure enough, he gave her money for the whole chasana, and this time the deal tacked was not sleep. Reb Chaim was telling him that sometimes they send the simonim in Hashemayim. You just have to be aware of those simonim. You have to have your eyes open and see clearly what they're trying to tell you. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says over here. It was midas harachamim. Alpi din HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a good right to be angry with Bilam. But he sent him a message from Hashemayim. Unfortunately, Bilam, with his blindness, he wasn't able to see that message. But those messages, says the Chofetz Chaim, every person in his lifetime, they send him these messages. You have to have your eyes open in order to be able to see them. Just one more word. This is the first pasuk that we say in the morning. How good are your tents, Yaakov, Mishkanei Secha Yisrael, your dwelling place, Yisrael. Why do we start out the first pasuk we say? We say a pasuk that Bilam HaRosha said. We can find some from David HaMelech, from Shlaima HaMelech, from Moshe Rabbeinu. But the first pasuk we say in the morning is the one that Bilam HaRosha said. What's the pshat? I saw that in some nuschois they didn't say Matoyvah Yaakov. There were some old nuschois that started out Panibra Chazdocha. They left out this pasuk, and they taki asked this question: like, why start with put the pasuk that a guy said? I once heard a beautiful pshat. I once heard a pshat based on a ma'isa shahoyah. There's a yid by the name of Rav Yoina Forst, Zeichet Tzadik Levrach. Very, very choshev a yid, choshev a Talmud Chacham, and a tzadik. He said over that in the concentration camp, there was a woman that was a Giyaris. And how did she get to the concentration camp? She could have saved herself from the Nazis. When they gathered up the Yidden in her town, they were very punctual. They had everything organized. They had a list of all the Jews. And her name was not on the list. Because as far as they were concerned, she was a Goya. They didn't have any record of her being Magaya. And they didn't call her name out. And as they're about to start marching out the Jews, she says, hey, wait, you forgot me. So they said, no, we don't have you on the list. And she insisted, no, I was Magaya. I'm going together with them. She suffered tremendously in the concentration camp. She died al Kiddush Hashem. But he says, somebody asked her, like, where did you get the kayak? To be so Meiser Nefesh, you could have saved yourself, and you insisted on going together with the Yidden. What's the pshat? So she said that she was always Makana the Yidden. She always used to walk in the streets and see when the Yidden came out of the shuls on Yom Kippur. She saw those radiant faces. She saw that there was something, a light, a heavenly light that shone upon the faces of the Yidden. And she was always jealous of that. She says, I also want to experience that. And because of that, I became a Yid. And that gave me the koyach, the taka, to go al Kiddush Hashem. and to march together with the Yid. You see that sometimes it takes someone from the outside to appreciate what a Yid is. You know, we go to shul, we go to shul Yom Kippur, we come out, we learn and daven. We don't appreciate that special radiance that's on our faces that perhaps the outsiders are able to see. I once heard that some of the most famous songwriters, the Goyish holidays, Irving Berlin and others, they were Yidden. I once read an article about that. Why were their songs so special? Because they were outsiders looking in. They wanted to be together with the guy. Unfortunately, they were assimilated Jews. And they were on the outside looking in. And the way they viewed the beauty of it would be their perception. They were able to describe it in song as outsiders. Sometimes an outsider is able to see things better than the one that's on the inside. And that's the pshat over here. Bilam said, "Matoyu oyolecha yapeg mishkanesecha Yisrael." He was an outsider. He wasn't zeicher to that. Of course, he couldn't because he was a baltaiva, and he wasn't interested in working and straining himself. Obalamaisa, when he did sing this song of "Matoyu oyolecha yapeg," it was the observation of an outsider. The first thing in the morning, we go to serve Hashem. We have to know. Look at the way the outsider looks at this glick. And we walk to shul. We wake up in the morning. We're half asleep. You know, we charge our way into shul. You know, we daven quickly. Take a look at the way a guy looks at us. Bilam, who understood as an outsider, Matayvu Halevi Yakri Mishkanei Sechi Yisrael. That's the pasuk that we start out with in the morning. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Have a good summer, everybody. Yeah, this is it. Yeah.